Lord, bless the study of your word, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ephesians 4, unity in the body. So Paul, writing this letter to the church at Ephesus, he says, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you've been called by God. Be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Always keep yourselves united in the Holy Spirit and bind yourselves together with peace." We are all one body, and we have the same Spirit, and we have all been called into the same glorious future. There is only one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and there's only one God and Father who is over us all and in us all and living through us all. Whew, that is some profound and deep truth, isn't it? You think about, what does God want? He wants unity. He wants love. He wants there to be understanding. He wants there to be patient endurance. He wants us to put up with each other's foolishness, right? To forgive quickly, to keep short accounts, to when we are wrong, to say we're sorry, right? Not to hold a grudge like so many do in this world. Hello. All you got to do is look in the Middle East right now. Right? So much hatred between the sons of Ishmael and the sons of Isaac. No love there. They're both sons of Abraham. What's going on? They need Jesus is what it comes down to. You go, "Pastor, you can't say that." I just did. Okay, I'm looking at the camera. If you're a Muslim, you need Jesus and you need to be a convert to Christianity. Boom, I said it. Right? If you're Jewish, you're religious Jewish, and you have not received what Jesus has done, he's the Messiah that was prophesied about. He's the very Son of God, died for your sins, came to the Jew first. You need Jesus. Period. You need God's love. And only love can overlook a wrong. That's why Jesus said, "Love your enemies. Do good to those that hate you. Bless those who spitefully use you." If Iran and Israel would do that, we wouldn't have these problems. And somebody asked me yesterday, like, is this it? Is this it, Pastor? Is this it? Like, they're sending bombs. Is this going to be World War III? I'm like, I don't know, but I don't think so. Do you want to quickly, real quickly, let's turn to Ezekiel 38, the first verses of it. And there's something to be seen here in the prophet Ezekiel talking about an end times war between Persia, Iran, in the north, Gog and Magog in the north, and Ethiopia and Libya, and all of Israel being surrounded by her enemies in the mountainous areas. I'm going to read this. And I know this is a distraction from my main teaching, but just hang with me for a second, because this is in the headlines, right? I need to talk about it. This is Ezekiel talking, a message for Gog. "This is another message that came to me from the Lord, Son of Man. Prophesy against Gog of the land of Magog, the prince who rules over the nations of Meshech and Tubal. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord." And that's also speaking of Russia and probably China as well. "Gog, I am your enemy. I will turn you around and put hooks into your jaws to lead you out to your destruction. I will mobilize your troops and cavalry and make you vast and a mighty horde, all fully armed. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya will join you too with all their weapons. Gomer and all of its hordes will also join you, along with the armies of Beth Togarma and from the distant north and many others." Talking about the nations of the earth all turning against Israel. "Get ready, be prepared, keep all the armies around you mobilized and take command of them. A long time from now, you will be called into action. In the distant future, you will swoop down on the land of Israel, which will be living in peace. after her recovery from war and after the return of her people from many lands, which is what happened after World War II. Right? That was a prophecy fulfilled. And so, what verse was I at? Verse 9. And he says, "You and all your allies, a vast and awesome horde will roll down on them like a storm and cover the land like a cloud." Now, drones sent from Iran, is that that? No, but it could be the beginning of that. Right? How do wars start? They normally start with airstrikes, right? But if we start seeing armies gathering and amassing around Israel, and you read beyond into chapter 39 of Ezekiel, something miraculous is going to happen. All of Israel's enemies are going to be struck down, and the dead are going to stack up so high you won't be able to bury them. That's some of the... That's worse war than we've ever seen on this planet. And it's coming. So we as believers, the urgency of the truth that Jesus is coming soon. History is winding down. There is a clock, right? And God is merciful, but the clock continues to tick. God has a plan, and there is a timeline, and you have to decide where you're going to stand at the end of the timeline. You better decide to stand with Jesus, right? Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. You can bow now, or you can bow later, but you're all going to bow. Well, Pastor, I don't like that. Well, nobody asked you. Nobody asked you if you liked it. God doesn't ask you if you like it or not. He doesn't care if you like it or not, because God is God all by himself, and he doesn't need my help. Ooh, man, does that rub you the wrong way? Ooh, it does me, because I'm a rebel. I want to be the boss, right? But God is the boss. These are his plans, not my plans. This is his world, not my world. This is his universe. Like when one person said, if you don't like it, go get your own universe. Right? And good luck with that one. Yeah. We just get to live in it, right? So point number one here on the screen, sorry for the little rabbit trail, but I felt like that was it's in the headlines, and we need to talk about it. Right? So number one, embrace godly character because we are one with the Father. When you come into agreement with God, when you surrender your life to God's care and control, when you become a Christian, when you say yes to Jesus and his Lordship, he said, Father, my prayer for them is that they would be one, just as you and I are one. Me and you and me, and us and them, and all of us being one together, right? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Father and Lord of us all. One church, united in love, in the bond of peace. What is the enemy trying to do? To destroy the church? He tries to divide the church. He brings disunity. He brings disharmony. He brings a spirit of contention, a spirit of arguing and debate. Can I tell you? The debate's already been won. Yes. All you can do is just surrender. Okay, God. My way doesn't work. My way doesn't work. Until you can get to that point of humility where you finally say, okay, God, you're the boss. I'm going to let you be the boss. I'm going to let you call the shots. Have your way, O Lord. Until you get there, you're going to constantly fight with God. You're going to struggle. You're going to be contentious. You'll probably be kind of bitter and grumpy. You won't be fun to be around. You could become one of those mean Christians that people complain about when they come to church. Hello, right? He doesn't look like us. He probably shouldn't come here. Right? Right? We are not that church, thank God, right? We don't care what you look like. We don't care what's pierced. As long as all the naughty parts are covered, we're glad that you came, right? Okay. Can a pastor talk like this? Can a preacher talk? I am, so I don't know. The mic's still working, so that's good. Okay. The big hook hasn't come from backstage yet, so I'm all right. All right, let's continue our study before I get too far off. Verse 7. Paul continuing to teach the church in Ephesus. However, he, speaking about God, he has given each one of us a special gift according to the generosity of Christ. That is why the scriptures say, when he ascended to the heights, he led a crowd of captives and gave gifts to his people. Notice that it says, he ascended. This means that Christ first came down to the lowly world in which we live. The same one who came down is the one who ascended higher than all the heavens, so that his rule might fill the entire universe. Verse 11, and I would highlight verse 11 through 13 in my Bible if you have a paper one. It says, he is the one who gave these gifts to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and to build up the church, the body of Christ, until we come into such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature and full grown in the Lord, measuring up to the full stature of Christ. Then we will no longer be like children, forever changing our minds about what we believe because someone told us something different, or because someone has cleverly lied to us and made the lie sound like the truth. Instead, we will hold to the truth in love, becoming more and more in every way like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. Under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I'm going to share just this story sort of anonymously. We had our chapter ride with CMA yesterday, and then we had a guest rider from another chapter, from another part in the state. I won't tell you where he's from, okay? I'll keep his anonymity. But he was complaining about his chapter. They don't want to ride their motorcycles. They barely want to get together, and they don't even really like each other. And I was like, you're going to have a hard time growing that chapter of a motorcycle ministry if you don't ride motorcycles, right? If you don't like each other, how can you call yourself Christians if you're not demonstrating love to each other? Of course you're mad about your chapter and want to come join our chapter because that chapter's no fun, right? Same thing is true of the church. If a church loses its love, nobody wants to be a part of a church like that, right? If a church doesn't show genuine care and concern, you won't stay at that church because you don't feel God's love. You don't feel appreciated. You feel like, well, they'd rather I just walk out of here. They don't even care if I'm here or not. Or you come and share some of your thoughts and things that the Lord has put on your heart. And they poo-poo that, or they make fun of you, and they go, no, that can't, no, that's not what we want to do. I'm like, well, maybe this ain't my tribe, I guess. I don't know. But here's what I know. It all starts with love. It all starts with love. You be a part of God's family, you want to be a part of a healthy church, you better find a loving church. A church that's demonstrating God's love. In word and in deed and in action and forgiveness and just in a big spirited heart, right? And humility. And not thinking so highly of yourself that you don't hang out with ordinary people, right? Point number two, let's put it on the screen. Christ came to give gifts to his people. And what were those gifts? They were leaders, right? Apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists. Right? And spiritual gifts, specialized spiritual gifts. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy, miracles, healing, right? That's why I'm so excited about Alpha this Tuesday. My favorite session, does God still heal today? A spoiler alert, yes, he does still heal today. And if you know someone who needs healing, you know someone whose marriage is in trouble, someone who needs a financial breakthrough, someone who's distraught emotionally, get them to Alpha on Tuesday night, and the Holy Spirit is going to move and heal people. He's going to help people. As his people, we can put a demand on the Spirit's anointing for healing. Isn't that good to know? Now, does he always heal? Not always. Do I know why? No. But is it my job to know why? No. It's just my job to pray, right? And what's crazy is I'm not a prophet. I am sort of, I'm more of like a music evangelist, and I'm a pastor. But there are times when God gives me prophetic words. And it's not like, I don't get word for word. It's not like words are written down, but I get pictures. And some of you have experienced that with me, where I'll be praying with you or for you, and God will give me pictures. And then I'll say, okay, Lord, what does that mean? And sometimes he'll give me the interpretation, or he won't give me the interpretation. He'll say, tell them what you saw. And I'll go, well, that's weird. Well, just tell them anyway. And oftentimes when I tell you what I saw, and I know, Tim, you and I have had that happen before, where I share what I saw, and it means something to you, didn't mean a thing to me. But you knew what it meant, right? And God speaks to us through dreams and visions, right, through words of wisdom, words of knowledge, prophecy. Amen. And he uses leaders. He uses people who have stepped into their anointing in the Spirit to do what they're called to do. That's why I'm so glad Pastor Tim is here. Here's a man of God who's known the Lord a long time, planted churches, shared Jesus with so many people, won so many people to Christ. Really, just a brother in the faith. It's so amazing. And when we use our gifts for the Lord, we find God's favor. We can feel the Spirit's love wash over us. Sometimes what happens is someone that in the flesh I wouldn't like very much, the Spirit will start giving me a love for someone that I normally wouldn't like. And you're like, man, I really love that guy. Why do I like him so much? God put a love in my heart for them.
Amen.
Isn't that something? He can do that. He can change your heart. He can give you gifts. And he does that in the church all the time. And let's get to the crux of the teaching, verse 17. Living as children of the light. With the Lord's authority, let me say this. Live no longer as the ungodly do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their closed minds are full of darkness. They're far away from the life of God because they have shut their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They don't care anymore about right and wrong, and they have given themselves over to immoral ways. Their lives are filled with all kinds of impurity and greed. Point number three, don't live like the ungodly do in spiritual confusion. What is the world? Where are they at? They're confused. I mean, some of them don't even know what a woman is. They're not sure which bathroom they should walk into. Now you talk about confused. Amen. I don't even know what right's from wrong. No, you don't. You can walk in confusion or you can walk in the truth. And I've stepped on so many toes today. But Tim said I don't have to apologize anymore. He told me I don't have to apologize, right? So sorry, not sorry, I guess. But we don't live like the ungodly do. And many of you know I'm an alcoholic in recovery. I'm also an addict in recovery. And the 12 steps is a powerful spiritual program that a lot of people use to get sober from drugs or alcohol. And I'll read to you what step four is. Step four says, we've made a spiritual and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. What does that mean? You take stock of your life. You go, what am I about? Am I just living for me and for my pleasures, or am I living for a greater good? Am I living to be of maximum service to the people around me? Do I want to be used by God to bless people, or do I want to just live for my own pleasure? And every day, I read this little blue book here. It's a recovery book called The Daily Reflection, and this morning had an amazing passage in it. And if you'll indulge me, I'll just read it. It says, the number one offender. That's the title of it. Resentment is the number one offender. It destroys more alcoholics than anything else. From it stem all the forms of spiritual disease. For we have been not only mentally and physically ill, we've been spiritually sick. As I look at myself practicing the fourth step, it is easy to gloss over the wrong that I have done
because I can easily see it as a question of getting even for a wrong done to me. If I continue to relive my old hurt, it is resentment, and resentment bars the sunlight from my soul. If I continue to relive hurts and hates, I will hurt and hate myself. After years in the dark of resentments, I have found the sunlight. I must let go of resentments. I cannot afford them. Yes. Actually, that's true whether you're someone in recovery or not.
Yes.
If drugs or alcohol has never been on the scene for you, that's true for everybody. Resentment will eat you up inside. And what would God say? Forgive. Let it go. Release that to me. Let me heal your heart. Let me grow you up. Let me hold your hand. Come with me as we walk this path together. Let me fill you with my spirit. Let the sunlight come in and wash away the darkness. Verse 20. And so, speaking about this new way of thinking and living, he says, but that isn't what you were taught when you learned about Christ. Since you have heard all about him and have learned the truth that is in Jesus, throw off your old evil nature and your former way of life, which is rotten through and through, full of lust and deception. Instead, there must be spiritual renewal of your thoughts and attitudes. Think about that for a second. You must display a new nature because you are a new person, created in God's likeness, righteous, holy, and true. Point number four, display a new nature. That's something only the God Spirit can do in you. It happens when you're born again. It happens when you say, God, I don't live for me anymore. I live for you. Jesus, live your life through me. Transform me, renew me, give me the mind of Christ. Help me to forgive others who've harmed me. And Lord, forgive me too. And he'll do it. He'll do it. Verse 25, let's finish the study. So put away all falsehood, tell your neighbor the truth, because we belong to each other. And don't sin by letting anger gain control over you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a mighty foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, stop stealing. Begin using your hands for honest work, and then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he is the one who has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Verse 31, get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of malicious behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. Do you feel the conviction of the Spirit on that? Like, oh God, I'm not where I need to be yet. I still have some work to do. You still have some healing work you need to do inside of me. And the final point here, I call it the personality of Jesus, or the Jesus personality. And Kim, these points fly in one at a time. So if you press the right arrow, it'll come in one at a time. The first Jesus personality is honesty, right? Those of us in recovery, we talk about rigorous honesty. Sometimes we have to be painfully honest, certainly with ourselves. Right? And I found that the worst lies I told myself were lies I told myself, right? Next, be gentle. We live in a harsh culture. The culture is always like mean-spirited, and like the humor is always putting people down or making people feel less than. I make you feel small so I can feel a little bit bigger, right? Or I ignore people who have a need because I don't want to get involved, right? But the truth is, if I have a gentle spirit, then I'm compassionate. I care about people. Next on the list, don't steal. How about that? If you're a thief, stop stealing. That's what Christians do. They don't steal anymore. Oh, that's practical.
How about give the stuff back if you still have it, right? Yeah. If you have it within your power to pay the person back, pay them back. Okay. How about that, right? Come on. Is this too painfully practical? No. Next one. Be good and helpful. Some of us are real good at being bad, I think, right? We have tons of experience at it, right? And we have to kind of get a new habit going, like, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be nice. I'm not going to say the mean joke that I'm so tempted to say in the middle of the night. I'm just going to exercise a little self-control and restraint. I'm going to be good. I'm going to be helpful. How can I help you today? Whew, that feels good. Right? I don't see the lights going on. That's good. Next, speak encouragement. Sometimes we go, well, they don't deserve it. But it's not about them deserving it. Be encouraging anyway. Now, how do you feel when someone gives you a compliment? Right? Mark Twain said, I die for 3 years on an insult, but I can live for 6 months on one good compliment. Right? Someone says something nice to me, I'll carry that around for a long time. Hey, they like me. Oh, I like them too. Right? Next, forgive and remember. A lot of people, we've heard that phrase, forgive and forget. How many know that's impossible, right? It's impossible without God, for sure. Especially if they hurt you real good. Right? If the resentment goes real deep and you're still paying the price for what they did to you, man, they did you dirty, and whew, man, I'm trying to let that go, pray blessings over them, but man, that is hard. Come on, am I preaching to the right group of people today, right? You ever been wronged?
Oh, yeah.
You're like, man. And then you can tell them, hey, you did me dirty on that one. And could you not do that? And like, well, that's you, man, that's not us.
Yeah,
wow, okay. Well, forgive and remember how much you've been forgiven. You can't forget, but you can remember how much God has forgiven you.
Yes.
You say, Lord, they don't even, like Jesus said on the cross, forgive them, Father. They do not know what they're doing. They don't even know what they did. Forgive them, Lord. Thank you that you've forgiven me. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes here today. I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, but I think this is a perfect time to give your life to Jesus if you feel like you haven't been living for him. So important that we surrender our lives to God's care and control. If you'd say, yeah, I need to say yes to Jesus. I need him to come into my heart to be my Lord and Savior, to forgive me of my sins. I want to be adopted into his family. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you forward, but I do think you ought to publicly raise your hand and say, today's my day. I need to say yes to Jesus. Just slip your hand up around the room and say, today's my day. I'm saying yes to the Lord. Maybe you're online here today and you need to say yes to Jesus. Put it in the chat today. Just say, I'm saying yes to the Lord Jesus. Maybe it's been years since you did that, but today's your day of renewing your commitment to him. Slip your hand up and say, yes. Yes, Lord, I'm saying yes to you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. Church, let's pray this prayer of salvation. Repeat this loud and proud after me. Say, Dear Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I believe God raised you from the dead. Please come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Be the Lord of my life. I want to follow you, Jesus. Take charge from this moment forward. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. Lift your countenance and give you his peace. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Go in peace. Serve the Lord, everybody. Thanks for being here today. What a great study in Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to keep studying God's word. It's going to be awesome. Say hello to Pastor Tim before he leaves, everybody. But glad you guys came. Have a wonderful Sunday. And we'll see you next week. For meatballs at the Mile Cafe.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to the ministry of Summit Church and the daily outreach of Wayne Hansen. You can support our ministry in many ways. Click the donate button on our Facebook page or at mysummitchurch.com. You can also text your gift to 303-625-9434. follow the prompts using your smartphone, and 100% of what you give by text goes directly to the ministry. You can also support us by connecting with our online community. Like, comment, share, and subscribe on our various social media channels. Take care and have a great week. Remember, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life.